You're listening to Amud B'Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, from the top of the Amud. So, okay. So these first few lines, you see just the first few lines, it's up into the two dots. So it took me a really long time today to try to figure out exactly what this means. In fact, I spent more time on those four or five lines than the rest of the Amud. Combined. So it's basically it's just like some complicated that was for sure dumbed down for me. Astrological stuff. So let's take a look. We'll do what we can. I'm going to try to simplify it. I'm not going to go much beyond Rashi. I was on the internet. I was looking up things, the zodiac and the equinox and things like that. I was doing a lot to try to figure out what's going on here. We're not going to really expand beyond Rashi. Let's start. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, Haroech Amed B'Tukufa, so somebody who sees the sun in its Tukufa, which could mean its strength, right? The Levana B'Gvura, so and the someone who sees the moon in its Gvura, and it's also a different word for strength. V'Kochavim B'Misilo Sam, and the stars in their paths. But this doesn't mean just any stars. This means the planets. The planets are called stars. That's how Chazal refers to them. Umazalos
kisit. They don't know the difference.
So it's a good question. It sounds like any first grader knows nowadays the difference between a star and a planet. So from our standpoint, looking up at the sky, we don't know. Right, you just see different things. The planets basically look like stars from our standpoint. Now, what they knew and what they didn't know. Even the word planet itself. You know what they call it? Actually, they call the planets. They call them kochav lelechas, right? Which means a moving star. That's what they call the planets. The planets are moving stars. Right, so you might say, "Hey, that's that sounds so ancient." But the word planet itself, I looked it up today. Also, planet is the etymology of the word planet comes. I think it was like planetan, which is and planetis, which is from Latin, from Greek, which means wandering, moving around. Meaning the word planet itself means wandering. That's the term for a wandering star. Now, we're going to use the term for star, kochav, right? That's what you learned. So if you think that kochav translates to star, so that means the scientific definition of star, which is right, like a ball of gas, right, that has intense heat that is in outer space. So if you think that, if that's the definition of star, that's not the definition of kochav. Definition of kochav is something, an orb in the sky. That's the definition of the Hebrew term kochav, which we translate as star, but it's not exactly a star. It's the same kind of discussion of like the Torah talks about the Shnei Ma'oros, right? The two luminaries, the two big luminaries, right? There's the two luminaries, the sun and the moon. And we say, come on, everybody knows that the sun and moon are so different, right? The moon is like a little satellite that's a billion times smaller, literally, than the sun. The sun is a star. It's a big ball of gas. You can't even compare them. No. So the Torah is just seeing orbs that provide light for us. Orbs in the sky that provide light for us. So it's not like a contradiction to the scientific knowledge we have. It's just different perspective and different terminology being used. So anyway, over here when they say kochavim, right? In modern Hebrew, you say kochavim. That means stars. But what they mean by kochavim is things that you see in the sky, including the sun and moon, by the way. They're going to include that. Now, the reason they say this, that they call them this, is that the stars are always in the same formation, right? There's the zodiacs and the stars in the same position. The only things, the floating things in the sky that are not in the same position, there are seven of them that you can see with the naked eye, right? What are they?
The planets?
Well, some of them are planets. Some of them are it's the sun, the moon.
I guess asteroids or shooting stars.
No, well, asteroids, no, definitely not. Yeah, I don't think you can see that with the naked eye until they're clear. Shooting stars, maybe, but we're not talking about those. We're talking about things that stay in a place, but they're in a different position from one night to the other. So it's the planets that you can see with the naked eye, meaning Mercury, Venus.
Well, you want me to name all the planets?
No, not all of them. Jupiter, Mars, and right, obviously, Saturn. What?
Can you see Saturn?
And Saturn. Yeah, correct. Those seven. The others, Neptune, Uranus, Pluto, you can't see those. Earth, we are on Earth, so they don't consider that a kohav, that left as they see in the sky.
Just looked that up.
What?
I'm assuming you looked that up.
What do you mean?
The seven you can see.
No, I mean, it's Rashi. I mean, Rashi
says it.
Yeah, we'll speak about it. There are different names for the planets, right? It's Ma'adim is Mars, Nugi is Venus, Kochav is Mercury. It's interesting. Over here, you see, even in the Gemara, four lines down, the word Shabbatai is Saturn, right? Because Saturn is what day of the week? Saturday, which is Shabbat. Shabbatai is Saturn. Saturday, yeah. So let's take a look at the Gemara. So if you see the sun in its tekufa, in its strength, the moon in its gvura, the kochavim b'mistil sam, the planets aligned in a certain way in their path, and the mazalos kisidran, and the constellations in their proper order, because the constellations, the stars are always in the same place, but they have like domain over different points. So when you see any of these, Omer, he says Baruch Osem Ase Bereshis. Baruch Osem Bereshis. You see the Baruch Osem Ase Bereshis if you see this. Now, lehalacha, it's brought down what the moon means, what the stars mean, so what the planets in line mean, what the zodiac signs in line mean, what the constellations. However, nowadays we don't say it because you need good astronomical knowledge to know when exactly they're in their proper place. However, the sun one we know, which we're going to get to in a moment. The Emas Havi, and when is that? Rashi says, Emas Havi, Achama b'tekufa sakai. When is the sun in its tekufa that you make a bracha, Osem Ase Bereshis on the sun? Do you know what that's called? What's it called when we say Osem Ase Bereshis on the sun?
Or something like that?
No. There's a Hebrew term for this occasion. So it's Birchas Hachama. You heard of that? Birchas Hachama?
I've heard of it. You make a bracha on the sun?
Yeah. You say what's called Birchas Hachama, blessing on the sun. So let's see. I want Abaye. Abaye says, Kol Chav Ches Shonin, every 28 years, V'hador Machzor, and it goes back around into its like Machzor, meaning its cycle, V'nafla Tekufas Nisan B'Shabbatai, and the Tekufas Nisan falls out under the domain of Saturn. Okay, I'll explain this. B'Orsa D'Tlas Nagi Arba, in the night of the third as it becomes the fourth. Meaning, confused? Okay, so there's a bracha that's made every 28 years called Birchas Hachama. Have you ever heard of that?
We still do it these days.
We still do it these days. The last time we did it was in 2009, I believe. And the next time it's always April 8th, by the way. It's April 8th every year which is a Wednesday. And last time was 2009. The next time is 2037. I made it once in my life. Mirz Hashem, you'll be married with children by the time you're going to be making Birchas Hachama. It's a crazy thing. It's a very interesting bracha. Now, what the bracha is based on, as Abaye says in Rashi,
the sun has a moon. Wait, what does it mean? Everything's in position, or the sun is?
The sun returns to the same position that it was in when it was created. So we have to clarify that.
The sun doesn't move.
The sun, from our perspective, it does, because we move around the sun.
Okay.
Right? Does it not? Right? The sun rises and the sun sets. Now you're saying, well, scientifically speaking, it's true. Scientifically speaking, the Earth rotates around the sun. However, from our perspective, what we see coming up and down is the sun goes, and but also the sun has a certain exact rotation. Now it actually takes an entire year for the sun to go back to its original place. This there's right meaning the Earth revolves around the sun in two different ways. One of them, it's where light, night, day, which is anywhere between, it's a 24-hour rotation. But then there's also a rotation of the position and distance from the sun, which is seasons, right? Seasonal. That's why you have a summer and a winter, right? We don't just have a day and night. We also have a summer and a winter and a spring and a fall, which is really just the transition seasons between summer and winter. So that happens at the end of a full cycle of these four seasons, meaning at the end of 365 and a quarter days, right? That's a full rotation where the sun returns where it was a year ago. So it takes a full year for this rotation, right? That makes sense so far?
Okay,
I'm with you so far. Okay, right. So 365 and a quarter days, that's why every 4 years we have a leap year, because those four quarters then equal one day, right? And then it creates an extra day, February 29th. So now, so then you should say, so shouldn't we make a Birchas Hachama every year? Not so fast. So what he says is that in order for us to make a Birchas Hachama, not only does it have to be in the same place it was when it was created, but it also has to be on the same day that it was created, which is, sun was created on the fourth day of creation. So it has to be on a Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Right? And
it always falls out on a Wednesday every 28 years?
Every 28 years it does. But not just then. But not just then. It also needs to be in the same hour that it's aligned, which is an hour that's under the domain of Saturn. So that only
has... Do you have an hour to make the bracha?
No. No, actually, in fact, really, the appropriate time to make the bracha would actually be Tuesday night, halachically Wednesday, because presumably the sun was created right then, or at least the way it works out is at night. But because because the sun's not out at night, we push it off to the next morning. But it only falls out the lashon is that Tkufas Nisan only falls out under the domain of Saturn on a Wednesday every 28 years. Okay, we're already it's 9:17. I'd like to read the Rashi's. I'm worried how long this is gonna go.
I can go later.
Okay. I'm gonna take a sip of coffee now. So we're for the long run. Okay.
Is this long Rashi on that?
There's a few of them. Okay, so Kol Chavches Shanim, he says, Shatkuvas Nisan Shebesov Kavches Kishachozer Machzor Gadol Shal Chama. So there's this Machzor Gadol, this big cycle of the Chama, of the sun. Lios Tekufa Nofeles Bishas Tleas Hamaoros Bishabatayhi Sha'a Tchila Leil Dalad. So basically, at the beginning of Wednesday night, the beginning of the night was when the sun was created. So be orsa ditzlas nagi dalid shaharev shamsho shel gimel shabbos v'yaschol leil dalid. Meaning means that when the sun sets at night, and then the next day. Okay, let's go to Shabbatai. So Shabbatai, Saturn. So shem sha'a rishona. This is the name of the first hour shel leil dalid. Meaning, so this there's another rotation here. The seven traveling stars that we talk about, the seven what you might call planets, which are really, the sun, the moon, and the five closest planets. Those are the seven revolving orbs in the sky. So these seven things, each one has an hour that's under its domain, so to speak. So like the first hour will be, so Rashi will say over here, so there's an abbreviation. You see how we let's take a look. Shah Rishon Shalel Dalad Sheba Oso Shah Nisluma Oros Visheva Shaos Hain Vichozros Chalila. So there are these seven, every hour for 7 hours straight of the week. There are 168 hours in a week. Every hour is under the domain of another one of these planets. So it says over here, Shetzem Chanchal. Shetzim, what's Shetzim Chalankal? So it stands for these seven planets, right? Shin is Shabbatai. Tzadi is Tzedek, which is Jupiter. Mem is Ma'adim, which is Mars. Ches is Chama, the sun. Nun is Nogi, which is Mercury. Chaf is Kochav, which is, sorry, Nun. Sorry, Nun is Venus. Nugi is Venus. Chaf is Kochav, which is Mercury. And Lamed is the Lavana. So that's the order of the 7 hours.
Did you say Mem was Mem was Mars.
Mem was Ma'adin, which is Mars, yeah. But I guess you can do Nugi is Venus. Nugi, Venus. And Kochav is Mercury. So you can create little mnemonics here. Tzedek is Jupiter. I don't know. Figure that one out. Jupiter with a T. Tzedek. Okay. I don't know. So anyway, what Timsa v'hekiv sidron shal olam simane sha'os tchilas alaylos katznash chalam. So those are the same letters, just in a different order. So basically, there's just a rotation of every 7 hours. So let's say it would be like, you know, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Sun, Moon, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury. So every 7 hours, there's another. It's under the domain of another one of these planets. Okay. So it needs to be just exactly lined up to the way it was. So over here, so Motzai Shabbos Kochav. So Saturday, the first hour of a Saturday is Kochav, Mercury. Tchilas Leil Beis Tzedek. The first hour on a Monday is under the domain of Jupiter. Tchilas Leil Gimel Nuga. Right, Noga is Venus. Sorry, is Mercury? Is Venus? Tchilas Leil Ruvi Shabbatai. So the first hour of every Wednesday is under the domain of Saturn. Tchilas Leil Hey Chama, and Tchilas Leil Shishi Levana. Tchilas Leil Shabbos Ma'adim. V'Seder Tchilas Hayamim Kalos Hashachar, and the order of these things in the morning is Chalam Katznash. That's the order. But the Kufa Mosheches Mechavresa Zayin Shaos Mechetsa, right? And then they have a cycle of 7 hours and then 7 more hours, right? Klomer Misacheres Acher Hayom VaHashah Shenafla Ba Chavresa Zayin Shaos Mechetsa, and the hour that falls into it is 7 hours and a half. Hare Shloshim Shaos LaArba Tekufos. So there are 30 hours for these 4 Tekufos. Hare Yom VeRevia LaShana, which ultimately comes down to a day and a quarter for the year, which is, right, so that's what we were talking about before. Okay, so anyway, so it goes through those things, and then there's a machzer katan and a machzer gadol. So every year it returns to its place, the sun, and then, every 28 years is where it's in its exact hour and the exact day of the week where the sun returns to that place. When that phenomenon happens, which happens to be every April 8th every 28 years, next time will be April 8th, 2037, put it on your calendar. By the way, just so you know, and hopefully we'll be in Eretz Yisrael by that point, and davening, we should all be in Eretz Yisrael by that point. I think I davened by last Birchas Chama that I should be in Eretz Yisrael by the next one. By that point, you'll see that everyone's going to be talking about it for months in advance, if not a year in advance. So it's a big deal. Like, I remember it, the previous one. So, like, you don't have to mark it down in your calendar. Like, you'll know. People will be talking about it.
Yeah, in a while.
Yeah. Okay. I'm afraid to see how far in we are. Oy, boy. Okay. It took me longer to prepare. Okay. Let's fly. So anyway, when the sun returns to this position, you say the bracha, Osei Maasei Bereishis, the bracha of Birchas Hachama. The minhag also is to say some more things, a lot of things that you say by Kiddush Levana, Kael Adon even, some other tefillos, Prakim of Tehillim, Aleinu at the end, the Kaddish. It's a nice little thing. It's done in the morning hours. Okay. And so good. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Roa Hayam Lechule. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, right, if you, someone who sees the sea, so he says an Osei Maasei Bereishis. Oh no, right? He says a special bracha. No, he says Osei Maasei Bereishis, right? Was it a special? It was a bracha on the Yom HaGadol, right? Someone who sees the Yom HaGadol, he says a bracha on the Yom HaGadol. It's a machlokas in the Rishonim and the Poskim. Does the Yom HaGadol mean the Mediterranean Sea, or does it mean what's called Okeanos, the oceans, the Atlantic Ocean? It's a machlokas. Interesting discussion there, but not for now. So you say bracha yana go. So it says in the Mishnah liprakim. You say it every once in a while, liprakim at times. So adkam, what does that mean? If you haven't seen the Yom HaGadol or a Yom HaGadol in 30 days, then you will make the bracha. If you've seen it within 30 days, you don't, right? We know this, we have this, by the bracha we said of a Shachianu, by a friend that you haven't seen in a while, you know, by the Kosel, doing Kriya, so same thing.
Does the Pacific Ocean count? Like, I know, because it's technically bigger than all of them. Like, I feel like the only reason they hold the Atlantic because it was the biggest ocean. It was the biggest body of water.
It could be that they're all connected. It could be that there's some person, let's say, that any water that is connected to that ocean, to all the oceans which connect, would be part of it. And meaning only if it's not surrounded by land, then it would be different.
I'm like, these days, if let's say you go to California and you see the beach.
I don't think we hold halacha that you will on that, but there's certain areas. But I'm not sure. It's for halachas here. Okay. Weiter. So I was going to talk about Yom. Amar Rabbi Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, same Amora Haroa Pras. Somebody who sees the. Somebody who sees the Pras, which is the Euphrates. Yeah. So someone who sees the Euphrates, Agishra de Bavel, on a certain bridge that there was in Bavel, Omer Baruch Ose Bereshis. You say Ose Mase Bereshis on this. Baruch Ose Bereshis seems to be the abbreviated form of that the Gemara refers to it. But now the Gemara then changes because there's a later opinion in the Gemara. This is Vahedna, but nowadays Dishinuya Parsai that the Mibei Shabur. Sorry, that the Persians changed things, meaning they added things, like they made their own canals in this river, in the river, the Nahar Pras, the Euphrates. So Mibei Shavur Ula El. Now only from this point and on. Meaning that in order to say Osamase Bereshis on a river, it needs to be God made, not man made. So any man made enhancements to the river, you would not say Osamase Bereshis for. So the earlier opinion of the Gemara says that from this famous bridge of Babel, you can say it. And then the opinion changed once the Persians built further and dug further. So then only from point X and on could you do it. Only from this other place. Right? This Mibei Shavur. Rav Yosef Amar Me'ihi Dekira Ula'el. Rav Yosef says, no, from Ihi Dekira, this other place, this other vantage point and onward, that's when you can make the bracha. Rabbi Baraba, Haroa Diglas Agishra Dishavistana Omer Burchos Ebrachus. Somebody who sees the Diglas, which is the Tigris, the Chidekel, from the bridge of Shavistana, so you can say Osamas Ebrachus over there. My Chidekel. What does the word Chidekel mean, which is another word for the Diglas? The Torah, in parts of Bereshit, calls it Chidekel. Amar Rav Ashi, Shemeim Avchadin Vekalin. That its water is sharp and light. Right, with the sharp and light, Rashi says, Charifin, Maya Vekalin, Lishkol, it's easy to carry and a weight, and it's good to drink, it's healthy for you, and it's good for the body. Okay. My Pras, so what about the Euphrates? Why is it called a Pras? Shemeim of Parin Veravin, because its water is fruitful and increases. Right? It's good for you, basically. Rashi tells us over here that it seems to be a positive thing about it. Maybe it has a lot of water, maybe the water is good for you. Vama Rava says, Hi de Kharifi Bnei Mechuza, the fact that Bnei Mechuza are Kharif over here means like sharp. Why are they so sharp, the people in the town of Mechuza? Mishum deshasu maya de diglas. Because they drink water of the tigers. Hi de gichure, the fact that they have, that they're ruddy in appearance, right? That they have a reddish complexion. Mishum de mishamshe biyamama. Because the parents conceive the child during the daytime. And it seems to be that some result of Rashi explains that child that's conceived during the daytime might have a reddish complexion. Vahai denaidi enaihu, and the fact that their eyes are like wandering, they have eyes, I guess, I don't know exactly what it is, they were like looking around a lot. Mishum de dairu bebeis afel, bebeis afel, because they live in dark houses. So, you know, like people who have very dark houses, they come out to the light, so their eyes might have to adjust to it, so it could be that he's explaining these three phenomena you see about people of the town of Mechuza. Okay. Alagasham in Vigom Vechule. The Mishnah said that you make a bracha on Geshamim, right? You say a tova meitiv when there's finally rain. The al Geshamim tova meitiv mevarech. V'homer Rabbi Abahu v'amri lebe masnisa tana. But that can't be that you make a tova meitiv on rain falling, because we have the whole discussion now from Meseches Tanis that we learned in a brisa. What we're going to prove, by the way, is that we make a different bracha on rain falling. You don't make a tova meitiv. So, but we're going to get a little bit of discussion before we get there. But Misnisan Tana, me'em asayin, in the brisa we taught, me'em asayin mevarach and al gashamim, at which point do you start making a bracha on rain falling? Mishyotza chasan likras kala, from the point that the chasan comes to greet the kala, which seems to be the river drops, sorry, the rain drops meeting with the puddles, or the puddles meeting each other. It's a euphemism. It's an expression. The chasan meets the kala. So my mevarach, and so what bracha do you say when the rain falls? Amar Rav Yehuda, modim anachnu lacha kol tipa v'tipa, shor adata lanu. You say, we thank you, Hashem. We thank you for every single drop that you brought down. Rabbi Yochanan Messiah ban. Rabbi Yochanan Mahachi. And Rabbi Yochanan would finish off with the following words. Ilu filu malei shira kayam v'chulei. He would say, like in a bridge form of Nishmas, right? You probably even recognize those phrases from Nishmas on Friday, on Shabbos, at the end of the Pesukah of Zimra. So he would say an abbreviated form of Nishmas, and then he would end up, Baruch Ata Hashem, Rov Hodos, blessed are you Hashem, for a multitude of chasad, of thanks, that we owe you a multitude of thanks. So then the Gemara asks, Rov Hodos, Velo kolodos? Wait, you're telling me you should say what sounds like we're saying it? Rove also can sound like major, like for the majority. For a majority of things we should thank you for. So the Gemara is, Rove odos? Velo kolodos? Shouldn't you thank Hashem for all hodos? Amarava, Rava says, Ema hakela hodos. Yes, Taka, you're right. So say the God of thanks. Don't say the God of the majority of things. Rav Papa says, Hilchach nimrinu l'tzavayhu. Therefore, because we have these two opinions, we're going to say both. Rov ha'odos v'hakel ha'odos. That's how you end off this bracha. Ve'el ha'kasha. But at the end of the day, we have a question, right? You told me in our mission over here in Maseches Brachos atov ha'meitiv, yet we have this brisa mechaseches Tanis that when it rains, you have this different bracha. Bo'di v'nachnu lach, al chol tipa v'tipa, and then nishmas, bracha ke'el ha'odos. Right? So which one is it? Ella, so lo kash, it's not a question. Ha de shama mishma, ha de chazi mechazi. No, it's not different. Here's where you heard it, where you only heard about the rain. So that's when you're going to say, Rashi says shama mishma, shama right she besarohu la amar yardu gesham belayla omer tova metim. If you hear the good news, the besaros tovos about rain falling, but you didn't see it, so then you say. Hatova meitiv, but this is where you actually saw it. Oh, sorry, I think it's saying the other way around. It's saying that the shama mishma, that if you heard it, you're going to say that it's called tipa v'tipa. But if you saw it, then you say hatova meitiv. So the Gemara responds, the shama mishma hainu besaros tovos. But this is hearing besaros tovos. But it's not. We learned the Mishnah al besaros tovos omer bracha tova meitiv, that you should say hatova meitiv here. Meaning, not just the water, not just the other bracha. So, ela aydi va'aydi dechazi mechazi. No, so both cases are talking about, meaning both of these mishnayas, the mishnah and the brisa, are both talking about where you saw it. It's not, none of them are hearing. Velo kasha. Ha da'asa pursa, ha da'asa tuva. This is where a lot, where pursa came, just a little bit. If it's a little bit, then you say thank you Hashem for every single drop. But if it's a lot, then you say atova ametiv. Vibay Sema, and another explanation to resolve this contradiction. Ha the ha de asatuva. Both them whereas a lot fell. Velokasha. Ha de islay ara, ha de lislay ara. This is where he has land. This is where he does not have land. So if a person has land, so ara islay, ara hatova mate. Sorry. Is there something taken out of here? Different gear, so? One second. No. Okay. So if he has land, then it's going to be hatova meitiv. If he doesn't have land, then it's the bracha of the you know every drop. So ha de slay ara v'ha de lislay ara. So now the Gemara challenges this. He says islay ara hatova meitiv v'varech. Right. So somebody who has land. So he just say tov ameitiv? That can't be. V'hotzina, but we learned in the Mishnah, bana bayis chadash v'kana kelim chadashim, someone who builds a new house or someone who buys new kelim. Omer, he says, baruch shehechiyanu v'yanu lezman hazeh. He says a shehechiyanu on this. Right? So I think Rashi takes this out. Shalo v'shalachirim, Omer atov meitiv. So I think we skipped that. This the Grah takes out over here. A little gimel. So wait, hold on. You're telling me that he says hatova meitiv? Shouldn't he say a shechianu? So lo kasha. Ha de isle shutvos. Ha de isle shutvos. This is where there is a partnership, where he's sharing it, the land, and this is where he's not. Vatanya, and we learned in the Braisa, we just remember, Vahatanya, I'm going to clarify that last point, don't worry. Vahatanya usually means, that's usually a question. Vahatanya, we learned in the Braisa. Just take a look at Rashi over here on Vahatanya. Right, it's two lines down from the Y lines of Rashi. You see it? V'hatanya, Rashi says, b'nichusa. When Rashi says that, Rashi's telling us that, right, we've seen this before. Right, v'hatanya over here means it's a support. Unlike usual v'hatanya, it means it's a support. So v'hatanya, we have a support. Kitsaro shadavar, b'kitsur, right, meaning in short, here's the klal. Al shelo hu omer baruch shechiyanu v'kiyemanu. Al shelo v'al shel chaveiro omer baruch hatov ameitiv. That if you experience something good that's just good for you, you say Hashachianu. If you experience something that's good for you and good for others, then you say Hatova Ameitiv. And that's what we mean in the case of the land, right? That in the case of when you have land, you own land, or you share it with somebody else, you say Hatova Ameitiv. But if it's only your land and no one else is connected to it, and no one else is benefiting from it, so then maybe you would say, only the modim anachlach called tipa v'tipa. But if you own the land, you would say hatov. You would say hatov. You own the land. You own land, and someone else is benefiting from it as well. You say hatov ametiv. So now let's continue. Now the Gemara is going to challenge this thought, right? It's going to say right hatov ametiv v'chol. So. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, wait, is that true? Is that true that whenever there's no one else benefiting with you, you're not going to make a tova meitiv? A tova meitiv is only when you are benefiting with someone else. Is that true? But the Gemara says, I don't think so, because look what we have. Right? That's what you're telling me. V'hatanya, but we learned in a brisa over here. V'hatanya is the usual, right? But we learned in a brisa. Amru le yalda ishto zachar. So if they say to somebody that his wife gave birth to a boy, Omer, he says bracha tova ametiv. The bracha tova ametiv. Hold on, why is he saying a tova ametiv? He had a son. No one else had a son. Hasanam, he says the Gemara deika ishto behade. His wife is with him, and she's also happy that she has a boy. So since they're both happy, they can make a tova ametiv. Now, just one quick point about, wait, what about a girl, right? Is that not also? So of course it's good news that if someone has a girl. Mishnah Berurah says that you used to say a shechianu, but what over here, and especially back in the day, in order to say a tova ametiv, there needs to be a financial benefit as well. And typically what it was back in the day, especially nowadays maybe to some degree, but not nearly as much back in the day, it was not a financial benefit to have a daughter, right? If you have a son, so they grow up to be breadwinners, and it was very hard for women to, Baruch Hashem, women are able to get jobs nowadays. Back then it was very, very hard for a woman to get a job. So if you had a daughter, it was a beautiful bracha, what a wonderful thing, but it was another mouth that you had to feed, and then you'd have to pay an expensive amount to be able to marry her off, and then someone for her husband to take care of her and provide food and clothing for her. So a woman being born was an expense. A son being born was a finance, meaning aside from the beautiful thing that, of course, you have a child, of course, but there's a financial benefit. And therefore, Hatova Ametiv is said for a financial benefit, like a son being born, a daughter being born, it's a shechianu, it's a beautiful thing, but financially speaking, it's not a beneficial thing, and therefore, the bracha Hatova Ametiv was not said. But anyway, but that's not the point of this Gemara. The point of this Gemara is saying, let's say a case where it's very simple. A boy is born where you say a tova ametiv, but why is a man saying a tova ametiv? no one else had the baby. No, his wife also had the baby. So it's two people enjoying the financial benefit and bracha of having a child. Tashma, another challenge. Meis aviv v'hu yarsho b'tchila. If somebody's father dies, somebody's father dies and then he inherits from, he gets a big inheritance. Right, so that's actually a wonderful thing to get a big inheritance. Of course, it's a terrible thing, he lost his father. So bitchila omer baruch dayan emes. First, you should say baruch dayan emes. Hashem took away his father. You should say baruch dayan emes. Tzedakah din. Ulo basof. But after that, hu omer baruch atov amitiv. You should say thank you Hashem for giving me a wonderful inheritance. So now the Gemara is saying, hey, hold on a second. You're saying atov amitiv, but only you're benefiting. No, Hasanami, they're also de'ika achi de'kayarsi v'hadeh. No, that case, when he says atov ameitiv, is where he has a brother who's inheriting with him. So he says atov ameitiv because he and his brother are both getting this tremendous inheritance. Okay, Tashma, one more challenge. Shino yayin ein tzarech levarech. If somebody changes a wine, you don't need to make a new hagafen. If you have one wine at the table and you bring a different wine, you don't need a new hagafen. Shino makom tzarech levarech, but if you change locations and drink wine in a new place, you need to make a new bracha. V'amar of Yosef bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, af al pi she'amru shino yayin ein tzarech levarech, even though when we said when you change wines, you don't have to make a new bracha gafen, aval omer baruch atov ameitiv. But when you bring out a nicer quality wine, when you're already sitting at the table with wine, and someone brings out a nicer quality wine, you say the baruch atov ameitiv. Why would you say it? You're drinking wine. Hasam nami, di'ika b'nei chabura, d'shasu ba'adei. There too, there's people in the chabura that are drinking together with him. And since they're drinking together with him, there's multiple people benefiting, and it's hatov ameitiv. I was going to try to finish the amud, but we've already gone long, so we'll call it here.